On this episode of the SABM podcast, growing a tech company through healthy partnerships with Tyler Laverick, Merchant Marine Academy, Class of 06.
Welcome to the Service Academy Business Mastermind. All you Academy grads, we got just what you need. Yo,
Service Academy Business Mastermind.
Take your business to the next level? Then what are you waiting for? Let's get started today. To learn more, visit www.sabmgroup.com.
What's up, team? This is Scott, and today I'm excited to share this interview with Tyler Laverick. Tyler is a U.S. Merchant Marine Academy grad and results-driven leader with a passion for tackling the toughest challenges to solve real-world problems. As the co-founder of BridgeCore, he and his close-knit team integrate leading-edge technology solutions in secure environments, allowing commercial solutions to answer the problems we face now. BridgeCore is leading digital change in creating the workplace of the future by transforming the way clients work across geographically dispersed teams in one common operating environment. In this episode, we discuss BridgeCore's origin story, how BridgeCore partners with tech companies to serve the federal government, why customer service is essential to BridgeCore's mission, how Tyler has created a strong and healthy workplace culture, and the best practices for building a successful business partnership. Hope you enjoyed this episode of the SABM podcast. Hey, Tyler, welcome to the SABM podcast.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, man. Well, after 200 and however many episodes we've done here, you're the first Merchant Marine Academy grad, I think. Yeah, the very first one to be a podcast guest. So congratulations on that high achievement.
Well, thanks, Scott. I think, you know, I'm definitely not the only Merchant Marine Academy or Kings Point guy running a business or doing the entrepreneur route right now, but it is it's a pleasure to be one of the first, and I'm sure not the last.
All right. And so the name of your company is BridgeCore. You're the co-founder. And maybe just to start off today's conversation, just tell us a little bit about what BridgeCore is and kind of how you got started in it.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. BridgeCore was founded out of, you know, the need for our customers to have a niche, kind of small consulting firm that could answer, you know, those tough challenges that are happening today, right? There's a lot of government consulting firms out there. There's a lot of folks who put butts in seats and go win contracts and staff them. But my business partner and I, we've been in the space for 12 to 20 years now. He was in there a little bit longer than I have. Him and I worked at the bigger companies, went to a medium-sized company, and then ultimately decided it was our time to kind of follow our dreams and go chase what it was like to be a startup and an entrepreneur. And the customers really gravitated towards that. And we were successful because we put them first and foremost, right? Their mission, their need. And we would then kind of build a solution that would ultimately answer that challenge and not just throw, you know, a proposal or some folks at them. It was, hey, let's sit in a room. Let's talk about what actually is needed. What are the skill sets? What technology? And so 7 years strong now, we've been able to kind of continue that mode of work that we're doing today. So, high touch, white glove, we're in the space every day. All of us, my co-founder, Andy and myself, both of us roll our sleeves up and still work on site with the customer, and as well as, you know, the other 45 or 50 folks. And, the culture that we created, Scott, I think is, people told us you could do that at 5, 10, 15, right? But once you get 20, 30 people in the company, you're going to start to lose that small niche, innovative mindset, right? You're going to lose the agility. But I'm here to tell you at just about 50, actually our culture has gotten stronger, right? We've brought more people in that have the same mindset as us, the more servant leaders, and now it's multiplying, right? So that force is actually becoming really strong. And so that's kind of the genesis behind it, Scott. It's been a unique ride. We've had our, you know, challenging times, especially not knowing if COVID was going to be the end of the run or how we're going to respond, because it was hard to get on government sites and do work. But we've came out of that stronger than ever and are on a pretty steep growth curve right now.
And who's your ideal customer for BridgeCore? Who do you guys, you know, as far as like, you know, what are their, what kinds of companies or what are their exact needs that you help them with?
Sure. So majority of our folks are all in the Intel and DoD space. So over 90% of the team has TS clearances, which allow us to get into, you know, some of the more secure environments. And having that clearance with some leading edge skills, whether it's cloud engineering, sec DevOps, program management, all this, the things that we bring to the table with the clearances, kind of opens that door up. And it shows that, you know, there is a great model with the customers and the government are pivoting to COTS products, right? Commercial off the shelf. You hear that a lot. It's too expensive, or the time to build stuff inside the walls in the government is not the way we can, you know, keep moving with the Internet of Things and all the sensors and cameras and everything that's connected today. So that benefit is, hey, BridgeCore can come in, partner with a Silicon Valley company or Boston or New York and say, hey guys, we'll be your cleared arm. We'll come in, we'll take your software, bring it in the walls, get it accredited, make sure that everything meets the cybersecurity requirements that are needed, and then put that into the space. And one of our partners in Silicon Valley right now, Bluescape, we've been very successful with this company for, you know, about 5 years now. And I think that's the model that that we can kind of take to, you know, other vendors and other tech companies and say, you know, there is a need for these integration teams and high-end tech companies to partner with you all, because you don't need to go hire a bunch of, you know, cleared people to do the work. It's a lot of overhead. It's a lot of accounting nightmares if you're a commercial company to try to do work inside the federal space. So about 90%, Scott, is in the federal space, and we have about 10% of commercial business, healthcare IT. We've gotten into some of that field because of the requirements are much higher than normal, just because of like being in the government, you need to have the HIPAA and the security and all that stuff wrapped around it. So pivoting a little bit in the commercial world, but mostly focused on the DoD and the Intel community.
All right. And you mentioned, I remember when we first connected a couple of weeks ago, you were kind of talking to me about your path, you and your business partner's path kind of to starting this new company. And if I remember correctly, it was because at the previous company, there was some sort of an issue with the partnership or something happened. But I'd love to hear from you, maybe just some best practices or lessons learned over the, you know, 7 years that you guys have been together with this company, and maybe what you saw at the last one that like didn't work, that for people that are, you know, partnering up with, you know, other, you know, fellow vets or, you know, fellow academy grads on business ventures, you know, like what are some best practices that you've kind of built out over the years, you know, to have a successful partnership?
Scott, I'm so glad you asked this question, because I talk about it a lot with folks, especially like you said, those that are looking to start something or have an idea. Andy, my business partner, him and I got some really solid advice when we were getting ready to kick this off. It was, you know, this is a marriage, right? You have to treat this as you're going into the same, you know, commitment that you do when you go to get married. And so for Andy and I, we got to see what didn't work in our last company. We went from the best company, as I told you, to the worst company the next morning because of just some differences at that senior level, right? The differences in, you know, valuation or mindset or where we're going to go and take the company, how big do we want to be? What does the exit strategy look like? That is all something that Andy and I, you know, have been transparent, open and honest with each other the whole way. It's like, let's just keep having fun. Let's keep doing this until it gets to a point where, you know, there are things that aren't fun. Or if we're empowering the next group of leaders in this company, that is ultimately going to be the next group of BridgeCores and the next companies that are going to be started. Just like us, we have to be willing to know that not everybody's going to stay forever, right? This can't be forever if you're really an entrepreneur at heart and want to do it the right way. so when I have these discussions with folks, it's about the timing in your life too, right? I mean, if you have a bunch of small kids and you got a lot going on, running a business is 24/7, as you know, Scott. And there's going to be things when it's 3 a.m. and you're trying to put your son or daughter back to sleep and you just can't go back to bed because you got 50,000 things at work going on, right? Well, after about 2 or 3 of those routines, you can't function as a leader. You can't make smart decisions. You can't do things right. So I ultimately, you know, asked too, like, where are you at in your life? Are you in a good point to make this commitment, right? It is a big commitment for you and your business partner, because those outside influences are going to impact how you act with each other, right? If you're super stressed or he or she's super stressed, it's going to lead to arguments. It's going to lead to probably bad decisions. So that has been one of the keys. And lastly, Scott, I'll say, Andy and I, we're cut from the same cloth. We grew up together. We're from Western Pennsylvania. Our parents are still really good friends. We knew going into this who we were as individuals, what was important to us, our morals, our ethics, those things that do get challenged when you're a business owner, right? Do you take the path of least resistance because it's the easy one? Or do you actually, you know, take that hard path that's going to be a little more challenging? It's going to grind. It's going to run you through the grinder. But you know that at the end of the day, you go to sleep at night knowing that morally, ethically, you made the right decision. And I think that's really been key for him and I. And having our families and our wives and everybody behind us, that just makes you that much more powerful as an organization. And I think that's key, is that if you're not at that same level, same mindset going in day one, how can you be there 5, 7, 10 years later?
Yeah, that's some really good advice. And I've heard some people say, like, you know, I forget the saying, something about like, what ship shouldn't I don't know what the saying is, but it's like, what ship shouldn't you board? And it's like a partnership. And I was like, that's kind of, I understand why you might be saying that, but like, you're so limited. Like, if you don't have somebody else, you know, I think, you know, that gets paid kind of the same way that you do, you know, as an owner of the business, that you can collaborate with. And I think it's, I think it's so limiting, like, not to have those. I think partnerships, like when I've seen people come together and work on businesses together, work on projects together, it just goes so much faster. And the ideas are so much better if you have the right, you just got to have the right people, right? Or the right partner. And it sounds like you've found that, and, you know, you were able to kind of build this company maybe on lessons learned or things that you saw, like, from the last company that you were with that where it didn't work out, and, you know, why all of those things that you just mentioned over the last, you know, 4 or 5 minutes are so important. I just think it's limiting not to, like, people don't want partners because of the potential, like, maybe they had a bad experience in the past. And, but I think it's just so limiting not to have one.
Not to explore that. And I think for us, you know, coming out of the service academies, we all know that we couldn't get through it without each other, right? There's not one person that went through the academy that said, well, I didn't need, you know, my best mate beside me, or I didn't need, you know, the guy on the ship with me or the Marine in the trenches. Like, ultimately, I think we're more built for those tough times as teammates, right? As leaders who are going to be challenged, have to make those decisions in the trying times. So I think that we have a different mindset, right? And you got to find that right mindset. Maybe a couple, you know, A-type players all coming together to build something, you know, might get a little challenging down the road, because, you know, we all like to be in the driver's seat sometimes, or like to be steering the ship and driving it. But it also does, you know, lend you to make those pivots and decisions that if you're just staring at the wall trying to ask yourself, what should I do right now? Really hard to bounce that idea right off of anybody. So there is definitely a fine balance. And I think to your point, Andy and I have been blessed to grow up together and know each other. And, you know, he's a computer engineer, super talented, smart behind the keyboard, but he hates doing this type of stuff, right? He does not want to be in front of the folks. He's not really keen to doing, you know, the presentations and all that. Whereas for me, I don't know a single thing behind the keyboard, right? If I had to peel the ones and zeros back and ask to do something, well, not going to happen. And so him and I have been very clear that we have two very distinct personalities, right? And they do jive really well in the business world together. And 7 years later, we've never had an argument, never had a fight. We can be adults. We can talk through things. We can pull in some mentors and external folks who, you know, maybe have been in that spot before, and ask them, hey, what would you do, right? Or where should we try to guide this thing? And at the end of the day, though, we're going to ask the team too, the leadership team with our CTO, Jake, and our director of ops, Josh, and all the talented folks we have. We make decisions together, right? It's never Andy and I in a vacuum. And I think that's key as well, Scott, to make sure, even if you are a partnership and it's you and your partner, if you have supporting elements around you, they have to be just as dialed in as you are to those decisions, right? Open up the books, let them see how revenue is, how's profit, what are you spending money on? All that stuff that I think makes partnerships challenging at times, right? Is that the financial pieces and the decisions, those are, I think, the stressors. If you're fully transparent and you know where the dollars are going and how the team is being rewarded for the hard work that you're doing, people are going to be incentivized to continue, you know, to drive that ship in the right direction.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too, and I kind of, gathered it from kind of what you said about, your business partner, I think that great partnerships or partners that have great partnerships really respect each other's talents. You know, it's like
100%,
and really like I'm almost in awe of like how good they are at that thing that they're really good at. And you just kind of give them the space to be who they are and really really respect like what that person does best. And it sounds like that's kind of the relationship that you guys have.
Yeah. Well, 100%. We piggyback off of each other a lot when it comes to, hey, Andy, that's your decision, man. You know what's best. You know how to kind of steer the direction of the tech team, and you know how to, kind of handle that. When we were bringing on the Bluescape project back, 5 years ago, Andy was the sole engineer behind it all, trying to run the business, trying to do it all. And at some point it was like, all right, you focus down on the tech, focus everything we need to do to get this thing accredited and up and running. And I'll take the reins at, kind of everything on the company side, right? Whether it was, the financials, accounting, payroll, all those things that kind of add up, right? Because you don't really get paid to do that stuff. And a lot of folks don't realize that at, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, when him and I are on the call, our wives have to be acceptable of that too, right? Because like we're interrupting time with them, or in the morning, right? Like I'm on the phone trying to get the kids out the door for school and whatnot. And I have my ear pod in with Andy talking about the day and what's going on. Like you got to realize that those things have to happen, right? To make the well-oiled machine run. It just doesn't, between 8 and 5, isn't when everything's happening. So that's a balance too, because again, if our wives and our families aren't bought in, then that adds stress and complexity to the situation. And now, when are we going to find that time to meet with each other? When can we talk about those tactical things if we're, not able to do it then? So it's a pretty big ecosystem, Scott, that I like to, share with everybody that it, when you do go into this partnership, you have to have that mindset of like, I'm in it with Andy's wife, Chessa. Now Andy's in it with my wife, Jess. Like we all have to be in the same discussions, the same kind of, where we're pivoting and what we're doing, because, we all might be out of touch for the next couple of weeks while we're writing a proposal. Right. And so there's got to be a little bit of a give and a take to that. And honestly, wouldn't change it for the world. I think him and I have, done a great job, but we're learning every day, Scott. So I won't say that we're 100% the best of the best, but, if you're not learning, then, we're probably failing the team and everybody else if we're not kind of heading in the right direction too, from the learning side of it.
All right. And what are some of your most important goals right now? So maybe short term, over the next, 90 to, 90 days to year end here in 2022. What are some of your most important goals, maybe short term and then also longer term, 3, 4, 5 years down the road?
So the timing is pretty impeccable right now, Scott. We just submitted a proposal Friday to be one of the first companies to take a platform that I'd mentioned before, Bluescape, a digital collaboration platform. We're moving it to a managed service where Bridgecore will be able to provide that product as software as a service. So instead of a organization just paying, you know, millions of dollars for, you know, an unlimited amount of licenses, they can come to BridgeCore and maybe your office needs 50 licenses. The office down the hall needs 100. And you can start to have this more commercial feel, and the government can spend money in a more reasonable way. We're super proud of this because we've always called ourselves trusted advisors to the government. Although we, you know, partner with tech companies and we do a lot of great things, the path that I think we are heading on is going to be the way that the tech companies and integrators work with the government in the future, because not every tool fits every solution, right? You might need a tool that maybe only 20 people are going to use. That's great. It still has to pass the rigor to get inside the government walls, and it's expensive. And the government most of the time is willing to pay a lot of money for that. But if they're doing that for hundreds of products or even thousands of products, that doesn't scale well. So our short-term goal is to create this software as a service model. As we said, we're fortunate enough with our partners, Bluescape. BridgeCore is kind of the integrator. And then from the 3 to 5 year, the capability that we're bringing, I like to call it, you know, try to package everything up and bring it into one screen, because we're all inundated with tools and data and just the amount of complexity that has been created in the world the last 5 to 10 years. We created this kind of solution and framework called Visual Intelligence, Scott. What it is trying to find a platform or some sort of mechanism to bring all these data sources together, right? If you're running an organization and you need to know what your budget looks like for the year, how's the burn rate going? What new programs have you started? All your directorates are doing a bunch of crazy things that you really don't have a pulse on. If you're that leader, you need to bring it all to one place. And so again, the partnership with Bluescape has been the start of that. But for BridgeCore, in the next few years, we really want to build out this solution called Visual Intelligence. And think of it as the iPhone that you carry, or your Google phone, right? Everything we need now is in that one pane of glass. We can all work from our cell phones today. You couldn't do that a few years ago, right? Just with the ability of voice and video and email and text. The government is not there yet. But BridgeCore, one of our kind of goals and objectives here is to get them to that place where you can walk in the office as a senior leader and all that data is being fed to you from the different organizations. And you can walk up to a screen and maybe it's all interactive and digital. And you go and you make those decisions based on the latest, not a PowerPoint slide that was given to you, you know, the morning, but it was printed, you know, 3 days ago, right? That data is stale and outdated by the time you get there. So that's really where as a company, we're heading. We're trying to do a lot of that integration ourselves and build out some of those commercial capabilities so that we can now show the government that this is a possibility. So exciting times, Scott. I think we got a lot on our plate and just going to, you know, keep grinding to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are some of your biggest challenges right now? Like what's standing in the way of, you know, those important goals, and what can we help you with?
Honestly, I think a lot of folks will tell you the same. It's the people, right? We pride ourselves in having a great company, very organic. We don't have a recruiter. We don't use outside recruiting firms. We mostly grow from either being on active duty and meeting some folks who fit the billet for what we're looking to do, or friends, family of those folks. And so I think growth in our area is really going to depend on how fast we can scale with the right team and the right resources, not looking to go outside the culture that we've created just to, you know, add more revenue and add more butts in seats, the mentality that we're not. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge. And then just kind of monitoring, Scott, where the economy and the world's going to go, right? I mean, I think you're seeing it already. Tech companies in the commercial world are already on hiring freezes and cutting back their force. So is the government going to take that stance here soon? The drawdown with the war on terror for 20 plus years, definitely, you know, is something to keep an eye on budgets and things of that nature. So we're always kind of plugged in. Where are they spending money now, you know, with the climate change and obviously looking at modernization, digitization of certain offices and certain places? Do we fit into some of those places? But I think just the unknowns that we're all sitting on the edge of our seats right now as a country, as a world, with what is going to be the next 6 to 12 months look like, and how can we be smart with our capital that we already have and a team that we already have to take care of them, and not make any quick decisions or hasty decisions because maybe a program or two get cut. How can we repurpose those individuals and make sure our team and our Bridgecorp family is taken care of? So that'll always be first and foremost, but really just the challenges, I think, are the unknown unknowns that we're all sitting around waiting for.
Yeah. And you mentioned that culture is really important for you. Do you have any kind of best practices around, as you guys scale, maintaining, the culture that you've already built? I guess I'm just kind of curious there, kind of as you grow and as you get bigger, how do you maintain the culture that's that you created, like kind of at the very beginning with you and your business partner, Andy?
Yeah, Scott, I would say transparency is obviously Andy and I's number one mode of operation for us. No matter who comes in, we are willing to share all the insights, all the knowledge, all the history of good, bad, ugly, to let folks know that they're a part of this, right? These numbers and these metrics and customer satisfaction and our reinvestment into the company is all transparent. They can see how much we're spending on to send folks to conferences. How much are we spending in bonus money throughout the company? What does our revenue projection look like, and how are we doing towards that, right? So whether you just started last week or you've been with us for 7 years, we have a digital environment, going back to that visual intelligence concept, which we call the Bridgecorp War Room. And each month we have a state of B Corp, which is kind of when we review our monthly financials from the month before and how we're doing with our goals and objectives. And that's open to the company, right? Whether you're a developer working on a project that has nothing to do with the leadership team, or you're the director of ops, the CTO, that meeting is 100% for the company. And they can ask questions and poke holes in things, because I will tell them, hey, this is a playbook that if you guys want to use, and maybe some of the younger folks or even the older folks want to start their own company, Andy and I would never hold you back from doing that, right? We lived our dream. We went and chased it. If you all want to chase your dream, know that we're here. We're here to make that happen. And keep that kind of agile environment too, Scott, where it's not super rigid, right? You're not making a decision, based on that news outlet or that article that was posted, right, about something happening. Really, let's bring everybody back to the war room. Let's have these discussions. Let's talk about how this is going to impact us. Maybe you pull in that, 24-year-old developer who has a totally different view than the senior leaders do, because he or she is, very new to this. Well, that idea probably is something that we're missing, right? So we've become very transparent. We like to build the team of team mentality. General McChrystal is definitely one of favorite of mine, and his book, I've read it multiple times, and creating that culture too, where empower the teams and the smaller units and groups to go do what they're really good at. And don't micromanage. Let them come to us when they need something. And that's been the mentality from 5, 15 to 20, all the way to 50 now, is continuing to just leverage that powerful network inside the company that we've created.
All right, Tyler. Well, you've shared some awesome gold nuggets with us today. And congrats on all of your success, kind of building out this successful company. And was there a question that I should have asked that I didn't ask, or anything else you'd like to share with the listeners today?
There's one thing, Scott, that I kind of, go back to a lot, for me personally, was the fact that, I had the luxury of growing up in a very blue collar town in Western Pennsylvania. My grandfather was a successful Ford dealer for 34 years. He only had a seventh grade education, right? So he didn't need the MBA from Wharton or Harvard or anywhere to be a very successful business guy. My father kind of followed in his footsteps as, you know, general manager of multiple car dealerships and ran a lot of large practices. And there was one thing that was common that they had taught me as, you know, as a kid growing up, was that loyalty and trust and transparency, no matter what you're doing in life, right? Whether it's running a business, whether it's having a family, whether it's, you know, being with your friends and doing all that, if you keep that kind of mentality and look after each other, I think you pretty much, you know, can take that path to success much easier, right? Because those stressors and those things that maybe, going back to our discussion with partnerships, maybe make it challenging, is that when you lay that foundation and that groundwork, whether, you know, at Bridgecore, we've laid it in the house with my wife and our kids. And, you know, we have that mindset of being trustful and loyal. So I think that that's kind of how I would, you know, one thing who I am, Scott, and what makes me a little bit unique is that I had the benefit of learning from two of my role models that, you know, lost my grandfather about 10 years ago. And my dad still, you know, we talk almost every day and bounce ideas off of them, and, you know, still have that mentality of, hey, I don't know it, Dad, you've lived it, like you got it. Can you help me? Like, what should we be talking about? What should we be doing here with the team? So that's kind of my last nugget, Scott, is that, you know, I for all the listeners and folks that'll be out there, it's, you know, I think a lot of us, again, going back to the Service Academy model or just the servant leaders that we are, there's something unique inside of us that we can pass it forward and continue to pay that on, because, you know, folks in our lives have definitely helped us, you know, become who we are today.
Right. And what's the best way for folks to learn more about Bridgecore and connect with you if they're interested in following up and connecting?
So, Scott, easily accessible, tlaverick @bcore.com is an easy way to reach me at any point. Also, bcore.com is our web. But I'm a LinkedIn guy. I do love putting some stuff on LinkedIn and following all of you all. So LinkedIn is a good way. So accessible, Scott, whatever way possible. But Bridgecore is, you know, it's a small company, but I think especially around the Beltway area and in this sector, we're starting to definitely get some attention, and hopefully that comes more of a household name.
Awesome. And I'll link to your website and LinkedIn profile in the show notes so people can reach out and connect. And yeah, man, it's been great having you on today. So good job for the first King's Pointer. I didn't actually know that's what you guys called yourselves, King's Pointers. So I know West Pointers.
Yeah. So we got to compete, right? We both live in New York, or, you know, reside in New York. So we got to have the West Point, King's Point, you know, kind of name there. But Scott, it's been a pleasure. Thanks again for, you know, trusting in me to pull this off and to, you know, hopefully work with you all closer as you guys at 10X Vets and some of the other things you're doing. So look forward to continuing to grow with you all in the relationship, and hopefully, you know, it's not too long before the next King's Pointer's on.
Hey, what's up, team? This is Scott. Just a quick announcement. If you are looking for your next career or business opportunity, or if you have an opportunity you would like to share with others, I'd like to invite you to join SABM Connect, a brand new and free networking platform just for Academy grads to discover and share business and career opportunities with each other. On SABM Connect, you can explore career and business opportunities from our network, share your career and business opportunities, and receive updates when new opportunities are posted. You can join today and create your free profile by visiting sabmgroup.com/connect. Again, sabmgroup.com/connect. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you found this episode valuable, please share it with a fellow Academy grad. And as always, remember to dream big and take bold action.